the topic of a talk that I've just never heard before. I call it the symptoms of sobriety. And there has been almost an urgency in the last 2 or 3 years to get this thing down on tape and on film and into print, everything that I can. And the reason, I think, is very, very simple. Mostly when we study alcoholism, that's exactly what we study, the disease itself. The disease. And I'd like to talk about the recovery from it. One of the big things that we go after when we try to, quote, educate the public, unquote, is to teach them, first of all, that alcoholism is indeed a disease, defined as such by the AMA, the American Medical Association, in, I believe, 1955. All right, in a very generic sense, a disease is some malady that manifests itself through a set of symptoms called a syndrome, in this case, the alcoholism syndrome. All right, what we try to do is spell out to people that the bizarre behavior of the alcoholic is a result of his disease. To try to simplify it to the mind of the layman, I always say, if you look at a drunk and watch some of his behavior, just ask the question, would anyone in his right mind do these things? And you usually come up, you know, with the obvious answer. The man can't be in his right mind. All right, he's drugged. The bizarre behavior of the alcoholic is not characteristic of the normal social drinker. That's why he's called normal social drinker or controlled drinker. And we go into all the characteristics of the alcoholic. And we go through all of the symptoms, all of the stages, you know, the 16 steps and so on that I've gone over so many hundreds of times in the Chalk Talk. We try to spell out that this thing is indeed a disease, and that despite the individual differences of each drinker, there is the sameness in the drinking of every alcoholic. All alcoholics drink too much, and their drinking is characterized by a loss of control that results in trouble. When an alcoholic drinks, he does not control alcohol, it controls him, and, number two, it causes problems. So that any given alcoholic could say, and quite truthfully so, I guess, that if he could indeed control his intake of alcohol without trouble, without problems, he would probably drink, just like normal people do anyway. They drink, they control their intake, they do not suffer problems or trouble as a result of their drinking, and they go happily to their graves enjoying alcohol, the gift of God that gladdens the hearts of men. Okay. The alcoholic is of a different breed. No one knows why anyone becomes an alcoholic. We just know that people do. People do. We also know that those who try to deal with the alcoholic without competence usually find that their efforts wind up in failure. That's why many doctors, many lawyers, many clergy become discouraged and completely frustrated when they try to help the alcoholic. That's why most families almost live in despair and many die in despair, simply because they feel that the alcoholic is helpless and hopeless. Most alcoholics reach a point in their lives where they feel that they are helpless and hopeless. Well, what has happened in recent years when we have found that there are means to help alcoholics recover, get well, function without alcohol, happily, effectively, and productively, and we have used these means and many alcoholics have indeed recovered. So what we try to do now is educate the public to use the proper means to help get alcoholics well. Our conclusion is that they can get well. And there's an even more startling fact about recovery. In rehabilitation or treatment centers that specialize in the treatment of alcoholism, where the therapy used is proper, and face it, the best for most is Alcoholics Anonymous, and most good, reputable rehab centers have a therapy that revolves completely around this primary source of recovery, Alcoholics Anonymous, we find that 60 to 80% of patients treated do get well and stay that way. So again, we try to educate the public, which includes professionals as well as non-professionals, that alcoholism is indeed a treatable disease and that it can be treated successfully, in spite of the fact that the sick alcoholic usually denies and balks against treatment in the very initial stages of that treatment. The old saying that I've used so many, many times at the end of many talks, I do accept the fact that you can lead a horse to water and not make him drink. I believe that. Unless you're bigger than the horse, of course. But what I believe equally well is that you can lead a horse to water and make him thirsty by letting him smell the water. That's what we do with alcoholics. Even though they balk at treatment, which leads many people to believe, well, they can't get well until they ask for it and admit they have the problem. Most alcoholics who enter treatment don't admit they have the problem at all. The whole world's wrong, not them. But when they get into proper treatment and can be shown that they are sick, not evil, and that there is a way for them to get well, I simply believe most sick people want to be well. And so 60 to 80% respond and do get well. All right. While they are in treatment, we try to teach them, we try to teach their families, we try to teach those who are close to them just what it is that they're suffering from. And so we try to spell out a definition of the disease. Now, I'm sure you've heard me say many, many times that there are many, many definitions of this disease. They're all valid, and they are all good, they are all scientific, they are all accurate. An alcoholic is one whose drinking is characterized by loss of control, and it results in personal, social, or economic problems. Dr. Green used to say that an alcoholic suffers a positive cellular craving for a drug without which he cannot even operate normally, etc., etc., etc. Boiled down, what alcoholism is this: the most complete and total illness known. It is sickness of body, mind, emotion, and soul brought about by the compulsive use of beverage alcohol. All right, that's a kind of an academic intellectual statement. But for one who has it, or especially one who lives with someone who has it, these are just words. To grasp the absolute horror, the horror of this disease, is almost impossible. I once heard an alcoholic clergyman say, "It is one thing to read about despair in the pages of a theology textbook, and it's another to live and experience despair in the guts of your soul." That old saying, the alcoholic is alone in a crowd. No matter what he acts like externally, he is alone in a crowd. He truly believes he is gigantically unique, and he lives in a world of misery and frustration and loneliness of his own. He is sick of soul. And this is what many of my friends in AA call alcoholism. It is soul sickness. And all of the bizarre and immoral antics or behavior of the alcoholic. Please remember that the disease is not immoral, but very often the subsequent behavior is. So that AA asks its members to make a searching and fearless moral inventory of themselves. Very, very often, the soul sickness of the alcoholic is a result of the unbelievable behavior that leads a man to, or woman, to act against conscience. And years of this results in such an absolute, I think the professionals say, low self-image. Well, that's a very mild term indeed. It results in such a self-loathing, an absolute hatred of self, that very often the alcoholic just yearns for the only escape that is open to him, which is death. Many commit suicide. Suicide rate is up very high amongst the ranks of alcoholics. And yet another sad commentary on the state of the alcoholic. If you go to enough AA meetings, you will hear men and women say that they attempted suicide. They didn't succeed. They weren't even good at that. They're afraid to live and they're afraid to die. I have often described soul sickness in the heart and the mind and the soul of an alcoholic by describing a man or woman who wakes up in the morning, looks at himself in the mirror, and experiences an overwhelming desire to vomit because he just can't stand what he's looking at. So that alcoholism is probably the most devastating illness known. Sickness of body, mind, emotion, and soul that results usually in the moral destruction of an individual and the psychological annihilation of those who live with it. Thus we have the sickness, and we talk about it almost all day, every day. Go to any workshop on alcoholism. Go to any Institute of Alcohol Studies, 1 week, 2 weeks, or even 3 weeks, and you'll hear an emphasis on the sickness. Now, we say that it is treatable. We say it can be treated successfully. We look at and talk with and listen to hundreds, even thousands, of recovered alcoholics. But very few people get up in front of the public and describe what a recovered alcoholic is. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't intend to get into a controversy about recovered and recovering. Many years ago, when I first became acquainted with some AA members, they used the term that Bill Wilson himself did. They say, I have recovered from this illness. What they mean is they've stopped drinking, they are happily, effectively, and productively sober. They do not mean that they're cured. They know as well as anyone that a drink will cause a relapse and they could die as a result of it. They're not saying they're cured at all. They simply say that they have arrested the disease, they no longer drink, and they function normally. Now, in recent years, some people came along and said, well, I'm still maturing, I'm still getting well and weller, and so they use recovering. Well, E-D-I-N-G, take your pick. Alcoholics can get well. They really can get well. What I would like to do now is just describe a few of the symptoms of recovery. What do I mean by that? You go into the military, you enter a base, and you plead with the higher-ups to send people into treatment. People go into treatment, they get sober, and they come back, and the superiors are now loaded with fear. What if he takes a drink again? What if he gets drunk again? The man who says that could drop dead of a heart attack in 15 minutes. You know, what if, what if, what if? You could what if people to death. Are there any signs that would indicate to the non-alcoholic that the alcoholic is indeed on the right road to recovery? But now, why do these people express the fears? Because they've been through it before. Well, he told me before he was never going to drink again, and he stayed sober 8 months, and then he had a fall. We sent him away, and he stopped drinking, and he said no, he wasn't going to drink again. He stayed sober 2 years, and he had a fall. How do I know that this is the right time, that he's well now? Well, let's begin by saying nobody is infallibly sure. If an alcoholic picks up a drink even after 20, 30, 40, or 50 years of sobriety, it can kill him. We all know that. And we also know that there is no infallible guarantee, you know, that an alcoholic won't take a drink. But I believe this, and I believe it strongly. There are certain things to look for, and if you see them, you can pretty well bet cash on the quality of sobriety you're looking at. All right, let's say, for example, just to use a parallel, you have a daughter, and she's 16, and she is struck down by a certain illness that demands surgery. So you take her to the hospital, the emergency room, you call the family doctor, he arrives on the scene, and very shortly thereafter she's in surgery, and he operates. It's all over, she's back in her room. What happens then? The surgeon has a conference with you. He says, look, I'm going to spell out everything that was wrong inside there that I went in to correct. I did this, I did that, and I did the other thing. Now, please, she will get well. What I want you to look for in the coming weeks and the coming months is this and that and the other thing. She will walk in a certain way for a few weeks, and then her appetite will pick up, you know, on and on and on. He spells out what I prefer to call the symptoms of recovery. If you see these things, you can pretty well bank your daughter's getting well. I firmly believe the same is true of the alcoholic. The goal of all treatment, if it is proper, is sobriety. What do we mean by that? What do we mean by that? We mean the opposite of inebriety or alcoholism. What is alcoholism? Complete, total, devastating sickness of body, mind, emotion, and soul brought about by the compulsive use of beverage alcohol. Sobriety is a return to health of body, mind, emotion, and soul brought about by abstinence from alcohol and living according to a set of principles that not only handles the compulsion to drink, but even handles those things that precipitated a drink before recovery and therapy set in. Bill Wilson, one of the co-founders of AA, said this: alcoholism is sickness all over. Everything you look at in an alcoholic is upside down, is sick, is not normal. He said, to judge quality sobriety, listen to this very carefully because it's the key to the entire thing. To judge quality sobriety, look for a profound change in personality. At the end of all of the steps of recovery that he recommends, he says this in the first part of the last step of recovery: having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these preceding steps. And then he concludes the step. But that's the point I'm trying to make, that if you do all 11 steps of the AA program, you will then obviously be prepared, you know, to do the 12th, which is carry the message to somebody else. But having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, Bill Wilson, in trying to describe the spiritual awakening to still baffled, recovering, they're in the initial stages, alcoholics, they were saying, well, what do you mean spiritual awakening? Does God come down to sit on your shoulder? Is it something that you will be sensibly aware of, that you can see with your eyes or feel in your heart? What is it? Is it a signal from God? Is it a change in conscience? Is it a change in the state of your spiritual life? What is it? And Bill, in trying to answer the question, what is a spiritual awakening or a spiritual experience, he said this: look at yourself during your last drunk. Now look at yourself at this stage of your membership in AA. Do you see a difference? Well, jeepers, they all scream. Of course we see a difference. I'm sober now. I've got 6 months, 8 months, 2 years, whatever. He says, do you see a difference? Well, obviously, of course. He said, why are you different? I said, well, number one, we're not drinking. And number two, we have changed our lives as a result of these steps. He said, that is a spiritual awakening. And it can continue to occur or become, many moderns say we are constantly in a state of becoming. He said, that is a spiritual awakening. Now, please, what are some of the signs of this recovery? One of the very first things, I believe, is a result of the first step and admission of one's alcoholism, because this is the very first act of humility that the alcoholic will ever perform. It is a total change. A total change from the way he looked at life and believed before. In his mind, before he admitted that he had a drinking problem, the whole world was wrong, not him. What do you mean I've got a drinking problem? I don't have a drinking problem, and he can't stand up. Because I have known people who walk out of a hospital after 12 weeks of being in the intensive care unit, of just about having their lives saved, and they walk out of the hospital and somebody faces them and says, now are you ready to do something about your drinking? And they look at the confronter in utter amazement. What is wrong with you? What do you mean by drinking? I'm not drinking. I'm as sober as a judge. I haven't had a drink in 12 weeks. The denial of the alcoholic, and by the way, the denial rubs off on the family too. They're the ones who kill alcoholics by denying that a member of the family has the problem. In other words, they bolster and fortify his denial. But that's for another day. We'll talk about that another time, their sickness. The very first indication of getting well is an acknowledgement that one is sick. Because it is only when an alcoholic acknowledges his alcoholism that he is about to take on a regime that's going to cut alcohol out of his life. No alcoholic is about to take on himself a set of principles to live by that are excruciatingly difficult sometimes, unless he sees that he has to if he wants to stay alive. So the first act that indicates that an alcoholic is getting well is when he acknowledges that he is sick. You say, good heavens, I've been praying for this for 15 years, for 18 years, for 25 years. This is what we've all been waiting for, this primary change, which is a change in attitude. And I think we can read the difference between one who is completely buying and surrendering to the fact of his alcoholic condition and one who is just saying it because he feels that that's what he ought to say. The first indication, and you can almost see it written on the alcoholic's face, a sense of initial freedom that comes from that complete surrender to the fact. He now acknowledges what his two-year-old was well aware of, what his boss has been telling him about, what his wife has been screaming to him about, what even some of his friends have been telling him about. The first indication of recovery is an acknowledgement of sickness. Now, what flows from that? Usually, an acknowledgement of being helpless. He says, yes, I have tried for 18 years. I haven't acknowledged to people that I wanted to quit, but I've tried thousands of times and have never succeeded. I am really helpless of myself. And that's the admission, admitted he was powerless. And it is when he reaches that point of being personally helpless that he becomes open to reaching out for the help of others. When a man or woman acknowledges that he is helpless, he ceases to be hopeless. Now there's hope. When a man says he's helpless, there is now hope. And it's written in his face. It's written in his being. You can touch it almost. You can touch it. He then reaches out, and you see, despite all the bombast and the intellectual superiority and the intellectual pride that so many alcoholics suffer, there is still that gigantic plunging into the world of humility that says, I really don't have all the answers. I know that you do. Please help me. One of the most brilliant men in this field used to say of Alcoholics Anonymous, he says, it is the most brilliant university on earth. It is where a priest learns from plumber how to live. And you see the genuinely turned around alcoholic. Now, seeing that he can get well because others are well, he reaches out almost clawing to anyone and everyone at meetings and in therapy groups and so on. Help me, help me, help me. Tell me, tell me, tell me. He wants 2 days of sobriety for every day that he breathes. Now, I'm not saying this happens to every alcoholic. I know some alcoholics who come into treatment and fight it almost to the bitter end. It takes a couple of years before somebody presses the right button. I'm just talking about the ideal, the standard to look for. When you see these things, now you can bet on good recovery. Please bear that in mind, please, because I know that all alcoholics don't conform to these standards. I know people sober 20 years who do not exhibit some of the symptoms of what I call quality sobriety. But anyway, the humility of the alcoholic in the initial stages of his sobriety, in which he is willing to accept help from anyone that opens his mouth to him. And the beauty is in the later years when you see the so-called old-timers, 25 and 30 years, come to a meeting and listen to a fella or a girl with 3 or 4 months of sobriety and just hang on to every word and in all humility say, gee whiz, I learned something tonight. As I've said in other talks, it has been my privilege as a clergyman to attend many open AA meetings, and I've heard and I have seen all of these things. And very early, and you can believe this or not, there will come a return of a sense of humor. And my friends, in my book, I've never seen this written up, really, in scientific journals, but in my book, this is the infallible sign of good recovery. There is no one on earth sadder than the alcoholic. And even his drunken laughter has the ring of tears in it. It is only when he recovers and experiences the freedom that comes from having the shackles of alcohol thrown off of him, that an alcoholic can breathe pure oxygen again. And he begins to see what others see. He begins to feel what others feel. He rejoins the human race. And one of the distinguishing characteristics of humanity is a sense of humor. And very often you'll see even brand new people, 2, 3 weeks, 2, 3 months, 2, 3 years sober, coming to an AA meeting, listening to a speaker, and absolutely bursting with genuine belly laughs at some of the things narrated in the stories of alcoholics that when they happened were tragic indeed. The characteristic of the solidly sober alcoholic is being able to laugh at the laughable. And one of the most laughable things in all of recovery is oneself. I once heard a man say, treat yourself very lightly, but treat this disease with the deadly seriousness that it demands. The solidly sober AA begins to reach out again to live a spiritual life. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I am not saying that he becomes a saint. Even AA literature tells me that perfection is the goal for which AA members strive. It isn't that anyone ever reaches it. But there is some sort of relationship with a power greater than self that is born in the heart of every recovering alcoholic. Whether it is the belief in the strength and the grace of a God, as most of us in the world of Christianity understand them, or indeed in the world of the Buddhist, the Jew, or whatever, there is some sort of reawakening of a belief in a power greater than self. Now, in those who do not believe in a God, there is a belief in a power greater than self. Usually, it's the power and the strength of AA and its various groups. Because this is where he gains his strength to get sober, and this is what he keeps coming back to night after night after night, the power greater than self. All of this acknowledgement. And I believe that for a superior officer, or an employer, this will begin to become apparent. And to the clergyman above all, this is what happens so frequently in the life of a truly recovered alcoholic. He knocks on the door of the clergyman's house, the rectory, and he says very openly, number one, the first initial act, I am an alcoholic. And I just want to be of help. I have not been a part of church for so many years. I'm back now. But I'll tell you what. If ever you discover an alcoholic in the parish and you need help with him or her, give me a call. And he leaves the clergyman his telephone number. This is a magnificent indication of one who is beginning slowly to rejoin the human race. Some of the other characteristics. As soon as a man or woman becomes free of the drug that has enslaved him, you find the emerging of a newer and better self-image. The alcoholic who takes an inventory of himself and dumps the garbage, he gets rid of the entire past, all of the immorality that alcohol has put him into, he now stands tall in the moral world, in the spiritual realm again. Bill Wilson said the answer to alcoholism is purely a spiritual or non-physical type of recovery. The answer is spiritual. And you find the growth of a new self-image. Bluntly, my friends, the alcoholic begins again to like himself because he is no longer doing the things that he did under the influence. The first thing that most people notice about the recovering alcoholic is very obvious, He's not drinking anymore. He's not drinking anymore. This is the first physical effect of alcohol. It leaves the system. Now, for many, who have to be detoxed and put into hospitals and treatment centers and so on, the first days away from alcohol are very painful and indeed are very dangerous. But as time goes by, you see the effects on the body when it gives up the chemical that is killing it. You see many bloated alcoholics lose weight by the ton and begin to look fit again. You see many skeletons who enter AA begin to eat all the sweets that many alcoholics crave after they get sober. And they get on, an ice cream kick, and they begin to put on pounds and look like $1 million. But this is probably the very first symptom of them all, is in the physical. He or she is not drinking. And so you notice they're not drunk anymore. And you notice the eyes are clearing up. You notice the gait is a little steadier. And as the self-image improves and the alcoholic begins to like himself, you begin to see a man or woman do what he or she should do. Walk tall. You see, A willingness to look at self and see what's there. No longer do you need to be afraid to mention to an alcoholic employee that perhaps he could do his job better if he did this. He considers it for a while and says, by golly, I never thought of that. Thank you. The characteristic of a good, solid, recovering alcoholic is gratitude for constructive criticism. He is willing to examine himself and see where he's coming from and where he has to go. Every alcoholic who gets well right takes a moral inventory of his life. He sees what he's got, his good points, and he does have them. This is part of the restoration of the good self-image. He also sees what he doesn't have, and he begins to plot the building of the rest of his life from that moment on. And so he is eager for the help of people who care enough about him to correct him, to make suggestions to him, or indeed even to reprimand him when he goes off. What you see, particularly as a superior, spouse, superior officer, employer especially, the alcoholic who gets well truly, and you can look for this, is a desire to make amends for past wrongs. And I think you can look for this. Because if an alcoholic gets well right, he will get a good sponsor who will point out to him, from his inventory, some of the things that have to be done, some of the bridges that have to be rebuilt, some of the fences that need mending. And he will make suggestions to him. Many's a time, my friends, and I'm sure that many of you who have ever dealt with a recovered alcoholic have experienced this. An alcoholic will come back to you and say, the only thing I can say to you is, I am sorry for the pain I have caused you. You can lay $1,000 to a peanut shell, but that fellow will make it. See, this is part of the continuing humility that began with the admission of his alcoholism. Humility is stark, raving truth. And an alcoholic knows what is so. He has caused pain. He is now out to make up for it. And you will see this, too, in a good, recovered alcoholic, a willingness to admit mistakes. That's a result of his 10th step. I go into the military, you enter a base, and you plead with the higher-ups to send people into treatment. People go into treatment, they get sober, and they come back, and the superiors are now loaded with fear. What if he takes a drink again? What if he gets drunk again? Well, you know, the man who says that could drop dead of a heart attack in 15 minutes. You know, what if? What if? What if? You could what if people to death. Are there any signs that would indicate to the non-alcoholic that the alcoholic is indeed on the right road to recovery? But now, why do these people express the fears? Because they've been through it before. Well, he told me before he was never going to drink again, and he stayed sober 8 months, and then he had a fall. We sent him away, and he stopped drinking, and he said, no, he wasn't going to drink again. He stayed sober 2 years, and he had a fall. How do I know that this is the right time, that he's well now? Well, let's begin by saying nobody is infallibly sure. If an alcoholic picks up a drink even after 20, 30, 40, or 50 years of sobriety, it can kill him. We all know that. And we also know that there is no infallible guarantee that, you know, that an alcoholic won't take a drink. But I believe this, and I believe it strongly. There are certain things to look for, and if you see them, you can pretty well bet cash on the quality of sobriety you're looking at. All right, let's say, for example, just to use a parallel, you have a daughter, and she's 16, and she is struck down by a certain illness that demands surgery. So you take her to the hospital, the emergency room, you call the family doctor, he arrives on the scene, and very shortly thereafter she's in surgery, and he operates. It's all over, she's back in her room. What happens then? The surgeon has a conference with you. He says, look, I'm going to spell out everything that was wrong inside there that I went in to correct. I did this, I did that, and I did the other thing. Now, please, she will get well. What I want you to look for in the coming weeks and the coming months is this and that and the other thing. She will walk in a certain way for a few weeks, and then her appetite will pick up, you know, on and on and on. He spells out what I prefer to call the symptoms of recovery. If you see these things, you can pretty well bank your daughter's getting well. I firmly believe the same is true of the alcoholic. The goal of all treatment, if it is proper, is sobriety. What do we mean by that? What do we mean by that? We mean the opposite of inebriety or alcoholism. What is alcoholism? Complete, total, devastating sickness of body, mind, emotion, and soul brought about by the compulsive use of beverage alcohol. Sobriety is a return to health of body, mind, emotion, and soul brought about by abstinence from alcohol and living according to a set of principles that not only handles the compulsion to drink, but even handles those things that precipitated a drink before recovery and therapy set in. Bill Wilson, one of the co-founders of AA, said this: alcoholism is sickness all over. Everything you look at in an alcoholic is upside down, is sick, is not normal. He said, to judge quality sobriety, listen to this very carefully because it's the key to the entire thing. To judge quality sobriety, look for a profound change in personality. At the end of all of the steps of recovery that he recommends, he says this in the first part of the last step of recovery: having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these preceding steps. And then he concludes the step. But that's the point I'm trying to make, that if you do all 11 steps of the AA program, you will then obviously be prepared, you know, to do the 12th, which is carry the message to somebody else. But having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, Bill Wilson, in trying to describe the spiritual awakening to still baffled, recovering, they're in the initial stages, alcoholics, they were saying, well, what do you mean spiritual awakening? Does God come down to sit on your shoulder? Is it something that you will be sensibly aware of, that you can see with your eyes or feel in your heart? What is it? Is it a signal from God? Is it a change in conscience? Is it a change in the state of your spiritual life? What is it? And Bill, in trying to answer the question, what is a spiritual awakening or a spiritual experience, he said this: look at yourself during your last drunk. Now look at yourself at this stage of your membership in AA. Do you see a difference? Well, jeepers, they all scream. Of course we see a difference. I'm sober now. I've got 6 months, 8 months, 2 years, whatever. He says, do you see a difference? Well, obviously, of course. He said, why are you different? I said, well, number one, we're not drinking. And number two, we have changed our lives as a result of these steps. He said, that is a spiritual awakening. And it can continue to occur or become, many moderns say we are constantly in a state of becoming. He said, that is a spiritual awakening. Now, please, what are some of the signs of this recovery? One of the very first things, I believe, is a result of the first step, an admission of one's alcoholism, because this is the very first act of humility that the alcoholic will ever perform. It is a total change. A total change from the way he looked at life and believed before. In his mind, before he admitted that he had a drinking problem, the whole world was wrong, not him. What do you mean I've got a drinking problem? I don't have a drinking problem, and he can't stand up. Because I have known people who walk out of a hospital after 12 weeks of being in the intensive care unit, of just about having their lives saved, and they walk out of the hospital and somebody faces them and says, now are you ready to do something about your drinking? And they look at the confronter in utter amazement. What is wrong with you? What do you mean by drinking? I'm not drinking. I'm as sober as a judge. I haven't had a drink in 12 weeks. The denial of the alcoholic, and by the way, the denial rubs off on the family too. They're the ones who kill alcoholics by denying that a member of the family has the problem. In other words, they bolster and fortify his denial. But that's for another day. We'll talk about that another time, their sickness. The very first indication of getting well is an acknowledgement that one is sick. Because it is only when an alcoholic acknowledges his alcoholism that he is about to take on a regime that's going to cut alcohol out of his life. No alcoholic is about to take on himself a set of principles to live by that are excruciatingly difficult sometimes, unless he sees that he has to if he wants to stay alive. So the first act that indicates that an alcoholic is getting well is when he acknowledges that he is sick. You say, good heavens, I've been praying for this for 15 years, for 18 years, for 25 years. This is what we've all been waiting for, this primary change, which is a change in attitude. And I think we can read the difference between one who is completely buying and surrendering to the fact of his alcoholic condition and one who is just saying it because he feels that that's what he ought to say. The first indication, and you can almost see it written on the alcoholic's face, a sense of initial freedom that comes from that complete surrender to the fact. He now acknowledges what his two-year-old was well aware of, what his boss has been telling him about, what his wife has been screaming to him about, what even some of his friends have been telling him about. The first indication of recovery is an acknowledgement of sickness. Now, what flows from that? Usually, an acknowledgement of being helpless. He says, yes, I have tried for 18 years. I haven't acknowledged to people that I wanted to quit, but I've tried thousands of times and have never succeeded. I am really helpless of myself. And that's the admission, admitted he was powerless. And it is when he reaches that point of being personally helpless that he becomes open to reaching out for the help of others. When a man or woman acknowledges that he is helpless, he ceases to be hopeless. Now there's hope. When a man says he's helpless, there is now hope. And it's written in his face. It's written in his being. You can touch it almost. You can touch it. He then reaches out, and you see, despite all the bombast and the intellectual superiority and the intellectual pride that so many alcoholics suffer, there is still that gigantic plunging into the world of humility that says, I really don't have all the answers. I know that you do. Please help me. One of the most brilliant men in this field used to say of Alcoholics Anonymous, he says, it is the most brilliant university on earth. It is where a priest learns from plumber how to live. And you see the genuinely turned around alcoholic now seeing that he can get well because others are well. He reaches out almost clawing to anyone and everyone at meetings and in therapy groups and so on. Help me, help me, help me. Tell me, tell me, tell me. He wants 2 days of sobriety for every day that he breathes. Now, I'm not saying this happens to every alcoholic. I know some alcoholics who come into treatment and fight it almost to the bitter end. It takes a couple of years before somebody presses the right button. I'm just talking about the ideal, the standard to look for. When you see these things, now you can bet on good recovery. Please bear that in mind, please, because I know that all alcoholics don't conform to these standards. I know people sober 20 years who do not exhibit some of the symptoms of what I call quality sobriety. But anyway, the humility of the alcoholic in the initial stages of his sobriety, in which he is willing to accept help from anyone that opens his mouth to him. And the beauty is in the later years when you see the so-called old-timers, 25 and 30 years, come to a meeting and listen to a fellow or a girl with 3 or 4 months of sobriety and just hang on to every word and in all humility say, gee whiz, I learned something tonight. As I've said in other talks, it has been my privilege as a clergyman to attend many open AA meetings, and I've heard and I have seen all of these things. And very early, and you can believe this or not, there will come a return of a sense of humor. And my friends, in my book, I've never seen this written up really in scientific journals, but in my book, this is the infallible sign of good recovery. There is no one on earth sadder than the alcoholic. And even his drunken laughter has the ring of tears in it. It is only when he recovers and experiences the freedom that comes from having the shackles of alcohol thrown off of him that an alcoholic can breathe pure oxygen again. And he begins to see what others see. He begins to feel what others feel. He rejoins the human race. And one of the distinguishing characteristics of humanity is a sense of humor. And very often you'll see even brand new people, 2-3 weeks, 2-3 months, 2-3 years sober, coming to an AA meeting, listening to a speaker, and absolutely bursting with genuine belly laughs at some of the things narrated in the stories of alcoholics that when they happened were tragic indeed. The characteristic of the solidly sober alcoholic is being able to laugh at the laughable. And one of the most laughable things in all of recovery is oneself. I once heard a man say, treat yourself very lightly, but treat this disease with the deadly seriousness that it demands. The solidly sober AA begins to reach out again to live a spiritual life. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I am not saying that he becomes a saint. Even AA literature tells me that perfection is the goal to which, for which, AA members strive. It isn't that anyone ever reaches it. But there is some sort of relationship with a power greater than self that is born in the heart of every recovering alcoholic. Whether it is the belief in the strength and the grace of a God, as most of us in the world of Christianity understand them, or indeed in the world of the Buddhist, the Jew, or whatever, there is some sort of reawakening of a belief in a power greater than self. Now, in those who do not believe in a God, there is a belief in a power greater than self. Usually, it's the power and the strength of AA and its various groups. Because this is where he gains his strength to get sober, and this is what he keeps coming back to night after night after night, the power greater than self. All of this acknowledgement. And I believe that for a superior officer, or an employer, this will begin to become apparent. And to the clergyman of, above all, this is what happens so frequently in the life of a truly recovered alcoholic. He knocks on the door of the clergyman's house, the rectory, and he says very openly, number one, the first initial act, I am an alcoholic. And I just want to be of help. I have not been a part of church for so many years. I'm back now. But I'll tell you what, if ever you discover an alcoholic in the parish and you need help with him or her, give me a call, and he leaves the clergyman his telephone number. This is a magnificent indication of one who is beginning slowly to rejoin the human race. Some of the other characteristics. As soon as a man or woman becomes free of the drug that has enslaved him, you find the emerging of a newer and better self-image. The alcoholic who takes an inventory of himself and dumps the garbage, he gets rid of the entire past, all of the immorality that alcohol has put him into. He now stands tall in the moral world, in the spiritual realm again. Bill Wilson said the answer to alcoholism is purely a spiritual or non-physical type of recovery. The answer is spiritual. And you find the growth of a new self-image. Bluntly, my friends, the alcoholic begins again to like himself because he is no longer doing the things that he did under the influence. You know, the first thing that most people notice about the recovering alcoholic is very obvious, He's not drinking anymore. This is the first physical effect of alcohol. It leaves the system. Now, for many, who have to be detoxed and put in the hospitals and treatment centers and so on, the first days away from alcohol are very painful and, indeed, they're very dangerous. But as time goes by, you see the effects on the body when it gives up the chemical that is killing it. You see many bloated alcoholics lose weight by the ton and begin to look fit again. You see many skeletons who enter AA begin to eat all the sweets that many alcoholics crave after they get sober and they get on, you know, an ice cream kick, and they begin to put on pounds and look like $1 million. But this is probably the very first symptom of them all, is in the physical. He or she is not drinking. And so you notice they're not drunk anymore. And you notice the eyes are clearing up. You notice the gait is a little steadier. And as the self-image improves and the alcoholic begins to like himself, you begin to see a man or woman do what he or she should do. Walk tall. You see a willingness to look at self and see what's there. No longer do you need to be afraid to mention to an alcoholic employee that perhaps he could do his job better if he did this. He considers it for a while and says, by golly, I never thought of that. Thank you. The characteristic of a good, solid, recovering alcoholic is gratitude for constructive criticism. He is willing to examine himself and see where he's coming from and where he has to go. Every alcoholic who gets well right takes a moral inventory of his life. He sees what he's got, his good points, and he does have them. This is part of the restoration of the good self-image. He also sees what he doesn't have, and he begins to plot the building of the rest of his life from that moment on. And so he is eager for the help of people who care enough about him to correct him, to make suggestions to him, or indeed even to reprimand him when he goes off. What you see, particularly as a superior, spouse, superior officer, employer especially, the alcoholic who gets well truly, and you can look for this, is a desire to make amends for past wrongs. I've noticed this in driving along with recovered alcoholics. Most of them are pretty good drivers. Didn't they survive their drinking years? Anyways, what you notice now, or what I have noticed in some cases anyway, is this. You'll be driving along, the recovered alcoholic is at the wheel, and some total doughhead pulls a driving boo-boo in front of him. And in 9 cases out of 10, the alcoholic will turn around, because, you know, somebody else in the car starts griping, and the alcoholic will turn around and say, you know, 4 years ago when I was drinking, I'd have pursued that son of a gun through 5 states to catch up with him, cursing him all the way. Now I just shrug and say, he needs a little help. I have seen this so often. The willingness of an alcoholic to acknowledge when he is wrong, for starters, and to acknowledge situations in which he used to be wrong, and now he's avoiding them. He continues to take an inventory of his life. He nips things in the bud. And I think that you're well aware of this when you see it in someone. I believe, too, that you will notice in genuinely recovered alcoholics a kind of peace in their relationship with the God that they were absolutely terrified of when they were drinking. Because you see, they're beginning to pray now. They don't talk about it too much, but you can see the results. You can see the results. The goal of all treatment, of the living of AA, of going to meetings, is obvious. Permanent, happy, effective, and productive sobriety. If you are an employer, you will notice it in the production of the employee. You will notice it. He will give you a day's work for a day's wages. In fact, I have heard many an employer say, I wish I could find recovered alcoholics to employ throughout my entire shop. They are the best workers I've got. And then you find that the alcoholic, somehow through the simple process of aging in AA, simply becomes mature. And it is startling, because you see, most people mature in a very gradual way over the course of their entire lives. What we see in the practicing alcoholic is someone who has lived as a psychological 2-year-old, you know, at age 45, suddenly when the drinking stops and he makes this profound change by living the 12 steps of AA, we see an almost startling burst of maturity, and you see, you know, almost anyway, instant adult. Somebody once told me, it takes a long, long time to get sick for many alcoholics. And it's going to take a relatively long time to get well. Please remember this, please. Time is of the essence. Time is of the very essence of good recovery. So don't expect all these things in the beginning. But what you will see as a result of these first 11 steps of recovery, you will see a man or woman reach the stage of maturity that makes him interested in other people. The truly recovered alcoholic is deathly interested in passing along the message of sobriety to still suffering alcoholics. This is why I said that if you're a clergyman and you have an alcoholic approach you and say, can I help you? And you know you've got a real live one who is truly well. Many an employer has had an alcoholic employee come up to him and say, look, as you know, I am an alcoholic, and if ever you find someone else who works here who needs help, please let me know, and I'll do what I can. These are the things, I believe, that we can look for. And again, as in so many talks of mine, I hate to give the impression, because I certainly don't intend to, that anything I say is at all complete. It really isn't. Well, let's go into a few more things. If an alcoholic truly recovers, he becomes interested, I've hinted at it, in fulfilling the responsibilities of his life. I think I mentioned elsewhere that there's a young friend of mine who said, Father, I believe that God gave me my sobriety so that I could fulfill my responsibilities. I'm a married man, therefore I have a wife. I'm a father, therefore I have children. I work, therefore I have a boss. And I think that if a man gets well right, and lives his life according to his conscience, he seeks the will of God and prays for the power to carry it out. Every alcoholic knows that the will of God for him is to get sober and stay sober, and then, first things coming first, he fulfills his responsibilities to those, you know, that he didn't fulfill responsibilities to before. And so you find a man truly becoming interested in regaining his family, in regaining their love, in regaining the love of his children and so forth. And you know, if you'll do yourself the favor of attending enough AA meetings, you will hear this over and over again. Men and women who are so full of gratitude for the marvelous things that have come as a result of their not drinking, you will hear them say things about their kids and the new relationship that they enjoy with their kids that will actually bring tears to your eyes. You know, to find and, you know, to hear a great big hulk of a man who was a little rough on his kids when he drank say that the other night he was talking with his little daughter and she says, I love you more now, Daddy. And he looks at her and says, why? And at age six, she just looks at him and says, because you don't drink anymore. And, you know, there is something in this. And you find a man hearing one line like that who will bend over backwards to work months and months and months more in order to make things right. What I think you see in a truly recovered alcoholic is the man or woman who would have been if the bottle had not entered his or her life. What you see is the person who would have been if alcohol had never entered his life. That's true. But it's incomplete. You see all this, plus, I don't know what it is, I can't put my finger on it, and yet I think it boils down to this. Only the alcoholic really knows the definition of sobriety because only the alcoholic has lost it. And I believe, you know, somebody once said to me, I think it was a nun some years ago, she said, you know, nobody appreciates water till the well runs dry. And that is so true. And nobody appreciates a wife except a man who came close to losing her. And nobody appreciates children except the man who has turned their hatred back into love again, and on and on and on. Again, I would like to remind you that some of these things, and please believe that it's all completely incomplete. I know that there are thousands of other things that could be said. But these are just some of the things that I see in recovering alcoholics that just makes me completely encouraged about their future. As one man once said, if an alcoholic lives, his program of recovery, his past is discharged, his present is secure, and all other things being equal, his future is assured. And for those of you who may be listening to me who are in the work of trying to get alcoholics from a drinking stage to a non-drinking stage, let's please look at the goals as often as we look at the symptoms of the illness. Let's look for the symptoms of recovery so that we can receive as much encouragement from them as we get discouragement from looking at the symptoms of the illness. And I know this, and I've said it so many, many times. If any of you has ever had your hand in the rebuilding of another human being, in helping them to attain these stages of happy, effective, and productive sobriety, you know what it is to live yourself. The alcoholic becomes intimately connected with other human beings as an expression of gratitude for his own sobriety when he gets sober. And I believe that those of us who work in this field could just as well indicate the symptoms of our own well-being and our own good health if, having succeeded with one alcoholic who gets well, we can plow through the discouragement of those who don't, in order that we might renew ourselves and rededicate our efforts to help another get well. Please look for the symptoms of good health. If an alcoholic responds to treatment, you will indeed see them. Thank you for listening to me.